Hello, hello. Welcome to WZVT 91.1 Gettysburg. I am DJ AKP 123. Catch me out here on these rainy Gettysburg streets. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon. I've got some amazing, inspiring students in here. So basically, I've got a group of undocumented women, college students at this campus, and they've been doing some amazing work. So I'm just going to hand the mic right over to them. They're going to explain some work that they've been doing recently in an organization that they're creating.
So,
speak
up. So we have formed the Butterfly Coalition at Gettysburg College, and one of our organizers will be speaking on that. So I think we should all go around and introduce each other, and then we will go ahead and read our mission statement. So I'm Danny, and I'm a junior.
I'm Angela, and I'm a first year.
I'm Erica, and I'm a sophomore.
I'm Jasmine, and I am a junior.
I'm Melanie, and I'm a sophomore.
So to start us off, we want to read the mission statement of the Butterfly Coalition. The goal of the Butterfly Coalition is to provide support to undocumented students on campus and embrace the intersectionality and multifaceted within the community. Members of the Butterfly Coalition strive to seek resources to provide undocumented Gettysburg College students with a space that allows for a sense of belongingness and relatedness. It is time to advocate for ourselves and those who prefer not to self-identify in our campus community. We refuse to be ignored by people on campus that cannot possibly understand what we go through on a daily basis. Therefore, we want to inform others what it means to be undocumented and of the barriers, as well as the risk associated with such statuses. We seek to clear up stereotypes and misconceptions while providing insight on the issue undocumented students persistently internalize, especially in a predominantly white institution. However, this will be a reciprocal effort in which we will also inform our allies on how to provide support for this organization. It is time to keep each other accountable and recognize our occupation on this land that is not ours.
I think at this time, the best thing that we can do is to go ahead and give our ally Galen of what it will require to be a support system and an ally that is part of the Butterfly Coalition. This is one of the biggest things that we keep being asked from other people on campus. It's how can I be a support system to other students and to your organization? So I think we can go ahead and start on that. An ally of the Butterfly Coalition will be able to hold the confidentiality of the student's identity.
We ask you to respect some exclusive spaces that are only for undocumented students.
Listen attentively and be mindful of when your input is appropriate.
Be mindful of your power dynamics and privilege and the way they affect your interactions with immigration.
Be open to being uncomfortable in a space where you might not be the main narrative of the conversation. And mindful that whatever we share may not always be centered around you.
Engage in critical thinking as information is shared and provided to each other.
Be aware that we do not have all the answers, and so we ask for your contribution in furthering the knowledge of the whole group. We ask that you find the time to do your own research so that we can all stay informed.
And be willing to mobilize and extend awareness towards the rest of the campus community, creating a larger impact on collective groups.
I think before we go on and start answering the questions that Anna has for us, one of the biggest things that we need to be mindful of is people creating the misconception that our group is something that is part of campus, so like adding it on to a group that would be center recognized. And one of the biggest things that we talked about when we were first meeting and organizing what our organization is going to be about is distinguishing that we are not in any type or form interested in being recognized by Senate. We are all very well aware of how biased it is, and we do not want to engage in that type of process where we have to validate or explain ourselves to a group of people that do not have our best interest in mind. We are tired of having to explain to ourselves and to other students of why it is that we need the type of support that it is vital right now at this moment. So with that being said, just as we continue with this conversation, be mindful that our organization and what we expect out of this is to create a center on campus, to create a support system for DACA and undocumented students, and distinguishing all of the misconceptions and stereotypes that come with the idea of being undocumented. We have spoken to other groups and other faculty, and it's going to be surrounded finding if it does come down to what it is, we're going to need funding at some point, and that's going to be asking the academic centers, asking other departments, and seeing if other people want to cooperate with us and help us create that funding to bring in the things that we need to see and the change that we need to see in, on campus. So that's one of the biggest things. But we will also be getting attention outside of campus. This issue goes beyond just what is going on campus. This issue goes to the families and the children being affected of being undocumented. There is a large gap that we need to fulfill. There is such a need for helping community and helping and realizing that there is such a need for going beyond what we do as students. And it is our responsibility to provide the support for others who will one day be in our position. So those are some of the things, but if it's okay with you, we can move on to the questions.
Yeah, thank you so much for the explanation. So my first question, you already covered this a little bit, but would you like to go in further of what inspired the creation of the Butterfly Coalition? Melanie?
I can speak for my perspective. One of the things that mostly inspired me to, you know, contribute to the creation of this was the kind of like isolation that I had to face every single day as an undocumented student. Yes, I will have several other spaces for my identities that I was able to, you know, process some things in regards to my other identities, but being an undocumented student is very taboo around this campus. People don't even want to address it, not even acknowledge that my presence is here. Therefore, the inspiration was creating a space for support, a space where undocumented students generate their voices, dictate over how they want to present themselves, a sense of belonging, a sense of knowing that despite our differences within what it means to be undocumented, we know that we have each other, that we understand each other in some type of level. We're utilizing our strengths to push not only for resources, but to push for more than just resources, because as undocumented students, there's very, very little resources available for us. The fact that we have to depend, for example, in my case, in being DACA, that's problematic in itself, because what happens people take that away from me? How I'm going to navigate this type of space if people are not providing me with resources? How I'm going to navigate the workforce after I graduate? How you expect me to put this in the back of my mind and not think about it, because this is my future? And yes, my future is getting the diploma, but what if I can't exercise the diploma later on? It's about not only getting those resources, but also sending the message towards the campus that we are part of this community and we should be appreciated and validated and prioritized as any other college student in this campus. We're also thinking about, you know, not only be exclusive in the sense for only catering towards college students, undocumented college students, but also reaching out to the community, because there is this fact that we have migrant community in Adams County. And you can't tell me that I have to put my success at the expense of that community. What I mean is that I have to sit down here and go to classes knowing that there is ICE raids in some of these communities. How you expect me to sit here and just having to observe that and know that and can't do anything about it? You know, we have, this is, at the end of the day, this is not only about me. This is more than me. This is about communities. This is about the entire people that we're talking about. So it's building those type of relationships too. I don't know if anybody else wants to put in.
I think that me, along with these other brilliant young ladies, when I was seeking to get this started and when I was trying to look at who am I going to trust and who am I going to know that will be willing and putting the effort to be a part of this change that we want to enact and contribute to our community, each of these young ladies have amazing experiences that it has worked up to this moment that they are passionate and that they know that they can be a part of this larger change. And I would like for each of them to please explain that and talk a little bit about their experiences of how this connects and how did you get to this point of being motivated to start this organization on campus.
Yeah, for me personally, being a first year and coming into this new environment, I came in with an open mind thinking that I was not going to be isolated and looked at different and that everyone was going to treat me the same because we all came in as a class of 2022 and came in for the purpose of a higher education. So I tried to keep that mindset, but it got tough. And I started to realize that people were not going to look at me the same because of my skin color. And I never really told anyone that I was a DACA recipient, but I did face those moments where administration and admissions, they viewed me as an international student when I'm a domestic student. And from that little part, I started to just say, you know what, like, they're not going to view me the same. And it's not okay for them to not view me as the same person that they are as well. I'm a human just like them, and I want to be viewed as a human being just like them. So in my high school, I was very silent, and my mother never wanted me to say that I was undocumented. And I'm tired of being silent, mm-hmm. and it's time for me to have a voice on campus specifically, especially because no one really wants to acknowledge that this group of people is on campus. Mm-hmm. So realizing that, I started a club in my high school called Dreamers Alliance, which has similar goals as to the Butterfly Coalition. And once Danny reached out to me to create this and start this organization, I was definitely for it because it worked in my high school and I was feeling so excited that people were finally supporting me and knowing about these issues in my community. And I thought that it was going to be easy to do it in college as well. But as I mentioned, the dynamic, the people who are here, they try to stop you a lot. And with this group, I think it's an opportunity for all of us to finally speak out and raise awareness for this issue that not many people want to hear about. And as Melanie said, we're here, you know, our presence is here. And I'm tired of just being ignored and viewed just as a number. I'm not a number, you know. And I think I really want to finally get our voices heard. And with the mission statement and our ally guideline that we have, I hope that a lot of people try to show their support and finally acknowledge that DACA recipients are human beings and are willing to do all they got to get a better future in this country.
So similar to Anjali, I've for a while been feeling really isolated, or rather alone in what I deal with on a daily basis, because I just didn't think there were other students going through similar experience. In my major in particular, I've felt this way because for a while I've just pretended, or I've rather ignored my status. I just didn't want to deal with it, given the people in my classes who I interact on a daily basis. I just, you know, I've always tried to not have that identity be my only identity. But, you know, it's hard because I've had to acknowledge that it's a very big barrier that I have to constantly overcome, but I just can't simply ignore it. So just thinking a lot about that, and also the fact that I consider myself very ambitious, but again, like, I completely sometimes forget that even though I have, you know, dreams and goals, this just hinders me from trying to achieve them. And I've always felt like I can't talk about it because, again, it's like how Anjali mentioned, it's like there's this like stigma attached to it, you know, and it's also being afraid that someone would say something or do something. And I just always felt alone. And so I like being a part of this is one of the reasons, like, I just don't want people to go through that. I don't want people to feel discouraged or feel intimidated in being in spaces where, you know, potentially there are people that could potentially do harm just by disclosing that identity. And so I just want to assure people or be there for people that do feel that way, because I felt that way. And, you know, and it really sucks because, again, like, I have these goals, but I've had to work through them myself, constantly internalizing all my thoughts, everything, because I just felt like I didn't have that support. And although I've disclosed this to some people, the thing is that some people are willing to help, but there's, like how Melanie mentioned earlier, they are just not that many resources. So, like, I, you know, I have ideas of where I want to intern or what I want to do, but the reality is that, you know, I just don't qualify for those opportunities, and I have not met people. Like, it's not easy for me to meet someone to be like, oh yes, well, you know, I know this connection, or I know someone who went through your experience and could come back to Gettysburg and help you. Like, the reality is that, you know, if someone graduated from this college and was undocumented, they don't come back and share their experiences. So sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes, I mean, in my major, I'm like, I love what I'm learning. You know, I love, you know, these discussions. I love this, but I feel discouraged because I don't hear about people that, you know, have this status, have a bachelor's degree and have a job, you know, are in the workforce. So it's like, I don't know what, you know, what's going to happen after this. And so, like, another reason for why, you know, my purpose behind this, behind the Butterfly Coalition, is because I want, you know, after I graduate, in some way, shape, or form, I want to come back and say, well, you know what? I can help you. You know, this is what I'm doing, and I can provide these resources because I know what it's like. Like, I've been there. And so I just want to help in any way possible alleviate that kind of, those kinds of barriers or that kind of stress and anxiety.
I think for me, along with, like, what everybody else said, being able to have a support group has been helping me, and I know will continue to help me. And I want it to become a group where other people can feel safe in classes when my peers would say something against, like, immigrants, against just their comments. I would have to bite my tongue and, like, not say anything, because looking around the room, I would sometimes be, like, the only person of color. Or, like, I wouldn't know, like, I was pretty sure that I was, like, the only undocumented person in the class. So I would have to hold back because I knew that I wouldn't, or I thought I wouldn't have the support, where I would just be, like, there educating them. And I wasn't there to educate them. I'm there to get my own learning experience. So even that. Not to minimize my own experience, but I know just being in college gives me a privilege, but others don't have that. And I want to be a part of this because I want it to be bigger. And again, like Melanie said, we have to help parents and families that are undocumented immigrants around Gettysburg and beyond.
So, recapping on what the purpose behind creating the Butterfly Coalition, we have mentioned that we would like this to be a center that goes beyond non-students and supports the community. And through these efforts, we want to raise money and support students with their immigration application / fees. At the same time, bring speakers to campus that can make us all aware and can make us learn about these new opportunities and immerse ourselves into what it really means to be undocumented. Receive help from lawyers and knowing how to serve the community best. One of the biggest things that we really would like to work on is scholarships. One of the biggest things that I can speak on my own experience, I am lucky enough to be a DACA recipient, and I am lucky enough to have received an award, a scholarship award from the Dream U.S. Scholarship. However, not everyone's granted that, and not everyone is granted the opportunity to attend college and further experience that a lot of them would like to do that. Being undocumented doesn't mean that you're immediately going to get federally money from the government. So applying for FAFSA, that's not a thing for us. And then even with looking for scholarships, several scholarships are very exclusive because if you're not a citizen in America, you can't apply for a lot of scholarships. And so what I would like to do, and I think the whole group will agree on this, is we are going to use our efforts and we're going to use our privilege to make sure that we advocate for these students and these families that want a better future but don't have the adequate support and the mentorship to get to the point where they would like to get.
Thank you all for sharing so much. So just for the people who are listening who might be kind of unfamiliar with immigration issues, could someone please explain what it means to be undocumented and also the difference between being undocumented and being a DACA recipient?
Yes, so undocumented is a foreign-born individual that has entered the United States without inspection or stayed in the United States beyond the expiration date of a visa or other status. For DACA, it has been a legislation proposal that provides undocumented youth specifically the opportunity to have some type of, let's say, legislation in regards to paperwork. So in regards to DACA recipients, they can get some type of scholarships available to them, and more so they can work legally and drive and have an ID and some type of document, like an ID. The difference between DACA recipients and undocumented is that DACA recipients fall under the undocumented term, because we have to be mindful that being undocumented is not only being centered to the dominant aspect that is DACA. Being undocumented has so many different complexity and different experiences. And one of those experiences is being a DACA recipient. So I hope that this clarifies some misconceptions. And that's why most of us have agreed to identify, I would say, as undocumented students, because we are aware that even though being DACA recipients has privileges, it falls under the term of documented.
Thank you for that. So just to reiterate what you've said, mm-hmm. not everyone who is undocumented is a DACA mm-hmm. recipient.
Yes.
But if you are a DACA recipient, you are undocumented.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thank you for that. And are there any stereotypes about being undocumented or being a DACA recipient that you would like to debunk?
One stereotype that we hear often is that the pathway to citizenship is an easy task. So we get asked, why don't we just apply? But there are actually limited paths to citizenship, and the process is really complex. If you are interested in learning more, we suggest visiting the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services website. UCIS. And we would like to also like debunk more stereotypes. But right now we don't have enough time. So look out for future conversations and panels that we'll be hosting to address some of these stereotypes.
So in your mission statement, you added in the final sentence a recognition that the land that we are living on is not our land, mm-hmm. that we're settlers in this country. Could you expand a little bit more on this statement and why you chose to include it in your mission statement?
So at this time, I would like to give a shout out to CARE Conference that was held at Davidson College this year. From this conference, we met a bunch of amazing individuals. And through that, we became more aware of the issues that come with being undocumented and looking at the broader picture of how it impacts everyone. And one speaker had mentioned that when we speak about being undocumented, and not just one of them, various, when we speak about undocumented, we forget about a lot of other communities. And that is why, with our organization, that is one of the key. We want to talk about these other groups that are being affected. Typically, when people think about being undocumented, the biggest stereotype that gets placed on it is the undocumented immigrants are from Mexico. And what we need to be aware of is there are a lot of other people migrating to the United States, and it's not just from Latin America or from Mexico coming over and, you know, and to the point where that they become undocumented. That's one of the biggest things. And also, when we speak about being undocumented, there is a lot of, one of the speakers called it a form of engaging in canceling culture, because we forget about these different populations, and indigenous people being one of them, black people being another. A lot of the times, these are the communities that are not being talked about, the communities that get most affected, and it's just that we tend to forget and we tend to acknowledge these communities. So what we are trying to do is, like we said, be more inclusive and focus on the intersectionality of this. So when we talk about being undocumented, that's going to be our umbrella term of our organization. But there are so many different groups and communities that fall under being undocumented and that will be acknowledged. Some being LGBTQIA community, people with disabilities, being differently abled, older people, indigenous people. And so there, like I said, right, there are so many different communities that as we go and as we progress, we will be speaking on this. And that is one of the things that makes us unique. At this time right now on campus, what we lack is unity. Mm-hmm. And we need to come together. We need to support one another. There are a lot of things and a lot of issues going on campus that is trying to separate us. And we cannot let that overpower us at this moment. We need to be stronger than that, and we need to know how to love one another and be respectful of one another, especially of each of the issues that we are going through.
Thank you so much. That's so true about the unity thing. So to continue our discussion of the mission statement, another thing that you included in the mission statement is the necessity of people who aren't undocumented or who aren't immigrants, that they need to educate themselves if they want to be a part of this conversation. Would anyone like to elaborate on why you chose to include that?
So everyone's experiences are different. So Danny kind of touched upon this a little bit, but basically some people, they either their visa expires, so there's just different ways to become undocumented. But also... So DACA, it was a temporary law, so it can change, and so you know, it's important that we stay educated because there's always just new laws, or rather there's always new opinions about what to do next. It's something temporary, so it's not permanent, and so it's bound to change And again, we don't hold all the answers. So, you know, we ask that someone, you know, if someone has information to share with it, because we might not be aware just because, you know, we're undocumented. Again, it doesn't mean that we know all the answers. We might miss something. We might, you know, not be informed. And so it's just important that we're exchanging those ideas or that kind of information.
In addition to that, this regard of having to educate, we are aware that there's going to be various circumstances that we will have to educate members of this campus, members of this community. However, we really want people to be mindful that the education doesn't stop once you come into our spaces. The education has to be within you because you genuinely want to be educated. If you genuinely want to be our ally, if you genuinely want to be part of this space, you have to make the effort to keep yourself educated because you can't depend on us. We don't have the answers. All of us, we have different experiences, but that doesn't mean that we know the experiences of each other. We respect that. We might know a glimpse of it, and that should be that should be respected, and that's why the educational aspect is a key factor, especially from faculty and administration and professors who are willing to come into this type of spaces. Because I know that in a lot of some offices, in a lot of professors, they tend to use the term illegal alien, and that's problematic. You being an educator with a PhD should not be referring to human beings in regards to that term. So therefore, you have to be educated. And sometimes it's very hard for us to have to educate you in every aspect. We have lives. This is one part of our identity. This is not the only identity that we have. We have other different things that we have to deal with. So therefore, if you genuinely want to be part of this space, genuinely want to be an ally, we have to see the effort from you. You really have to redefine what it means to be an ally, other than taking up space.
So to continue this conversation about allyship, what actions beyond self-education would you like to see from your documented community members?
Well, as Melanie was saying, we are going to be educating our allies and providing resources, but as we also included in our mission statement, this is a reciprocal type of allyship that we're looking for. We give you resources, but we are also open and very accepting towards receiving the resources that the ally has. I believe that we will be sharing a lot of personal experiences, but it's not just about grasping those experiences. We need the support from the allies. We need them to be fully on board with us because it's something that's very complex, very personal, and it's not just about showing up, listening, going back home, and not reflecting upon what you just listened to. It's not just taking it, forgetting about it the next day. It's about taking it and deconstructing the experiences, the resources that we are providing for you. So with that being said, it's very crucial for the ally to also provide the resources that they have because we do not have so many resources. We're limited to resources, and other people might have way more opportunities that are just laying around there. We're looking for those resources, but if they're not presented in a way where we could apply for them, there's so many opportunities that could be given, but then yet again, we're restricted from them because there's certain requirements that we need to satisfy. And unfortunately, the undocumented community doesn't satisfy all of those requirements that they're looking for. So I think it's time for our allies to also look into the resources that they have and be able to give it to us. Because as I said, And I want to reiterate, it's a reciprocal allyship that we're looking for and not just a come in, listen, and leave.
A documented ally also should use their privilege to voice their own opinions on immigration. And luckily, I've had an experience where a teacher was able to stand up to, not stand up, but bring in facts to a student who has commented badly about immigrants. And stuff, things like that really stand out to me because as a professor, he is supposed to educate him, to educate his students, but he went a step forward with actually pointing out that the humanity and not just the facts in it. Mm-hmm. And so I think going back to professors, they get respect from students more than students get from other students. So they should use the privilege that they have to get students to listen to them. And along with that, documented allies can serve to create networks. So if they know of any undocumented alumni, then they can connect them with us or somebody else.
And I think also, obviously, there's a lot of work to be done on mm-hmm. campus, and there is so much support that the undocumented community needs, but that is also not to recognize the efforts, the sum of the efforts that people on campus have been doing. And there have been several individuals, several centers on campus that you can go and you can feel safe to speak about your experience, some being like the OME or the International Resource Center. And these are some of the spaces that you feel comfortable walking into and telling the administrators about your experiences, because they may not, you know, be in your shoes and understand, but they can be empathetic and they can listen. And luckily, my sophomore year and from there on, I was lucky enough to meet these wonderful ladies. But before that, before more undocumented students started coming to campus, I didn't really have anyone. And we go back to this concept of being isolated. Of course, there's elders that can provide that support, but we also need people that can relate and people that are like us and can provide that type of support. And as we progress, these ladies have become a strong supportive network for me, because I can say something and they already know what I'm about to say. They already feel and understand what I'm about to say, and they can relate. And we have to look beyond, you know, the struggles. There are struggles, but how are we going to fix that? How are we going to progress, and how are we going to change that to bring the positivity in? And that is what we are trying to do. We are trying to move away from the sad story and from, you know, always thinking of immigration as being something negative. And of course, not to say that, you know, it's not something that it's really hard to deal with, but we also need to move away from thinking that this is an identity, this is a natural thing, this is not something that composes of who we are. We are more than that. And like one of the speakers said at the conference, Yosimar Reyes, we have to think about being undocumented as an afterthought. That is not something that defines you. And for our allies and for people that know us and are hearing us right now, one of the biggest things that we expect from you is, after today, do not treat us differently. Mm-hmm. Do not look at us differently. Mm-hmm. We are just here to do what we need to do, be students, but we are more than that. And we are more than just being undocumented. We are here to provide change and provide positivity to the community.
And I also, I'm so sorry, but I'm also, this is a time for us to take back our voices, take back our narratives, and dictate how we want to present them. I can talk personally, I'm very sad that people tend to humanize me based on my sad story. You shouldn't be trying to measure my struggles and then humanize me. You should humanize me in the first place, period.
Periodo.
Periodo. Therefore, what we're asking our allies is to not see us differently, to see us as who we are. We are thriving. we are bosses. We are baddies. Mm. That's what I ask. Yo, that has... To see us more than just that identity. Yes, yes, this is something that affects us. It's something that, you know, just because, for me, just because I'm a DACA recipient doesn't mean that I'm not in the target of deportation. It's something that it affects me. It's something that is my reality. But that doesn't mean that I see myself through that. I see myself in being more than just this. And that's something that people have to be mindful. I don't know about the time, but I just want to reach out to undocumented students on campus who we don't know yet of you. We want you to know that we wanted to create this space for us, to empower us, to educate us, to relate to us, to support us. Because I'm really tired of having to walk through this campus and feeling alone. And I know that this feeling is shared among all of us. I know that most of us are in fear, that most of us, because this is a survival mechanism to try to hide this from campus, because we're in a primarily white institution. But I want you to know that we are creating this space for you. Please don't feel intimidated. Don't feel fearful to reach out to us. At the end of the day, the only people that we have right now is each other. The only people that we know, if something goes down, is each other, because this is something that affects us. Every single one of us in this space, we're being mindful of that. So please don't hesitate. Please reach out to us. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm sorry for saying this, but after graduation, how are you going to navigate society, this society, if you don't have the resources, if you don't have the networking, if you don't have this type of support? So just be mindful that this thing doesn't stop once you get the diploma. This thing just started for you.
And going off of that, we understand that there are some people that are undocumented and are not willing to share yet about their experiences or what it feels like to be undocumented. Or maybe you even haven't thought about how that affects us, right? With that being said, you don't need to self-identify right now. You can tune in and listen and see the efforts that we are trying to do. You are more than welcome into this space. But if you would like to self-identify and come and talk to us, listen, we are here for you. I know Dr. D and Brad has been trying to collect a list that we can, like, we won't know who you are, but the administration knows, and they want to reach out to make sure that you are okay. With that being said, at the same time, of course, our first priority is to support undocumented students on campus. That is who we first thought about when we were organizing all of this. But it is also, like we said, our allies. And if immigration affects you and those around you, this is a group for you too. If this is something that you care for and you want to join us in creating this change, we can do this together. Like I said, what we need is unity. And that type of support is what's going to make this change happen.
Would anyone like to add to that? Or all right, so the final topic that I'd like to ask y'all about is, how do you plan to apply your mission to this campus in the coming months, in the coming years? What are your plans?
So we have been talking about holding facilitations or workshops. And they consist of several things, but some workshops just could be to emphasize more of like what the guidelines, like the allies guidelines consist of, or like to clarify any questions that people may have. So it could consist of that, or to just kind of, clarify what it means to be undocumented, or, talk about issues like things with ICE. So like those kinds of facilitations or workshops.
I think going off of that and what Jasmine was saying is we're really going to focus on the intersectionality and the multifaceted of the undocumented community. We will be expanding on ICE intimidation and making sure that us, along with our allies, if they are truly supported, please join us. And when we will be having a Know Your Rights session, and this will be helpful for the people that live around you, the students that are around you, and maybe potentially inputting this into your syllabus and talking about these issues. We are going to be talking about why DACA is such an exclusive term, mm-hmm. and distinguishing how society places this emphasis of being a good versus a bad immigrant. We will be expanding on the aspect that papers do not protect us, that does not provide us giving us the documentation does not provide us the safety to be in this country. We are going to expand on also the how exclusive the concept we are here to stay is, because of the fact that, like we were saying before, we ignore a lot of different communities, one of them majority being indigenous people. We will also be expanding on how society praises this idea of living in the shadows and how it's somewhat of a sensational experience to you all that we have to live in the shadows. And potentially with the help of campus and people who are trained to do these things, we can provide workshops for professors. So these are some of the things that we'll keep in mind. We will have more things in the fall, and so the upcoming year coming in. We're thinking about potentially doing something this semester, but we don't know yet because of how packed the schedule is. And so we just want to make sure that we have participation and engagement. So obviously we have a bunch of ideas that we would like to enact, but we have to be considerate of the times and how it looks like. But then again, if you are committed and you do care about this issue, you will make the time. Mm-hmm. So that is some of the things to keep in mind.
And as we do start closing off, I just want to say that another mission that we do want to apply onto campus is that after coming out with the Butterfly Coalition and telling people on campus what we're doing, we are not to be victimized. Mm-hmm. We don't want that from people, and to start looking at us differently and treating us differently, saying like, oh my God, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. No. We're not here for that. We're here to create a support system within our community, within our campus. We don't want people to start looking at us differently, just trying to say, like, we're sorry that you're going through this. We're all strong individuals. I believe that every single one of us right here creating the Butterfly Coalition, we're strong. We are strong. We're making it through it. We're college students. We're privileged for doing that. For being college students. So please don't victimize us, because that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for allies. We're looking for the support, and not to be saying we're sorry to hear what's going on in your life.
I just want to add that we're basically asking that you see our potential and that you can, you know, see that and then ask, how can I help you? What can I do so that we can continue to strive?
Any other final comments?
We love all of you. We welcome all of you. And we are here for you.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I would like to thank you all so much mm-hmm. for privileging us with your stories. It is a privilege to hear what you have to say. Your knowledge is insane. I can't even... Y'all are geniuses, so... Thank you so much. This has been Voice of a Generation on 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg. I'm DJ AKP123, and if you're tuning in late, this was an episode highlighting the experiences of some undocumented students on this campus and their plans to create an organization called the Butterfly Coalition on this campus. Keep an eye out. You'll be hearing more about these powerful ladies. It's been real. Enjoy your Friday. look up Voice of a Generation on social media. We'll be uploading this full episode to the podcast app. Search us up, Voice of a Generation. Thank you all. Have a good day.